Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 505. That's 505 or... 505.
I can't believe you did that.
I made so much fun of him before we started recording about that, and then he goes and does it. By the way, if anyone's looking for an SEO and podcaster, my email is...
Oh, yeah. Usually we edit this out, but it's too fun. It just makes sense. You did the 5 with the hand and the 0-5. It looks like it should be some sort of...
Today's show is entitled Fun with Numbers.
Yes. Anyway, this is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host, my friendly dork here, is my
this is how the next half hour is going to be.
Scott Fanak. Yeah, we have to have fun like this once in a while. And you know what? Apparently, we're fun to listen to. All right, so I'm going to start off with a big thanks to Dominica. Thank you for listening. She says... and then she posted this to Spotify, and Brasco kindly notified us of this, and he's our producer. He says, she said, I've been listening to you for about 3 years now, and today I decided to finally leave a comment. I'm listening all the way from Wrocław, Poland, and I just wanted to say thank you for all the great work you're doing. Your podcast helps me so much in my daily work, and I really appreciate the knowledge you share, the quality, and your sense of humor. Keep it up.
505, yeah.
Yeah. She may change her mind after this.
we're on her blocked list now.
Yeah. Anyway, we really appreciate it. Any reviews you guys can leave, it really makes our day. We've been doing this a long time, and you know, you may not believe it, but we really don't know how many people are listening to us. The tracking systems these days suck. We really don't know. And when we hear from you, it's just a real push. So thank you.
I do have to point out, because this is critically important, the comment she left was on an episode that I did solo. So just saying.
Oh, did
anyways, you? Yes. Oh. I don't think it was directed at me, but I'm going to pretend it was.
All right. Well, let's jump into the SEO news now. And first is about the June 2025 core update, which is now underway. Not much to say. As usual, it's a core update that's currently underway. About halfway complete. It started on June 30th and is expected to take 3 weeks to complete. I do have a note later on to talk to you guys about in terms of local, how it perhaps is affecting that. But otherwise, really, we're just getting in intel. We're not sure what it's doing other than that it does seem to be a big one, and there's lots of shuffling going on. So if you're feeling the hit, just do your best to improve anything you've already... you know needs to be improved on your site. That way you're not overreacting. You're just doing good, smart things to your site, and you can't lose, right? So good way to push that energy somewhere useful. What's next here?
Yeah, so this could have gone under AI, but I didn't. I put it here. So there's been a little study from Google is generating nearly 13% of people also ask answers. There was a study by Mark Williams Cook, who's the founder of an SEO tool called Also Ask. They analyzed 8.4 million English language people also ask results and found that 12.6 of the answers are AI generated. This is, as far as we know, the first study of this type. So hopefully there are more of them, and we can see how this data changes. Google did start showing AI overviews within People Also Ask back in November. I don't know how I feel about this one, because AI overviews is clearly AI doing its thing, and that's fine. We accept that. We know what's happening. And People Also Ask, I feel like it's kind of sneaky. It's almost like that needs to be a little more human driven, I think, but I don't know.
Now, isn't he saying though that the answers are AI generated, not the People Also Ask questions?
I believe they're saying that.
Well, so it says answers specifically.
So that's a good point. Well, now I sound like an idiot because I should know the answer to that question. it's a very short article over on Search Engine Land.
Well, that makes it even seem smarter.
You know, no, this is good because I feel less stupid because AI generated answers appear in. Yeah, it's not saying where the questions are based, so it doesn't actually say.
Okay.
So it might just be the either way. I don't know.
Yeah, we have to keep our egos down, right? Pummel each other a bit here, just so we don't get inflated heads. And
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It doesn't specify yet. So
okay. So as far as we can tell, they're talking about just the answers, which are AI generated, instead of citing other sites.
Correct.
Which makes sense to me. That would be a negative to see. We don't want that. We want them citing us. Because we have the proper content. We did the work. I don't like the idea of AI just taking over all of this. And of course it will, because we don't like it. All right. Well, let's jump into Google Search Console. It is now adding 24-hour comparison views. This is your bit here, but it's easy enough for me to cover here. So it's added two new comparison methods to performance reports in Google Search Console. Now you can compare the last 24 hours to the previous period or the last 24 hours compared week over week. This is just a small change, which is helpful for anyone who wants to easily compare their time periods. If you do not see this ability now, you should soon. Google noted they're rolling out all the changes to properties over the next few months.
Well, one thing that's interesting, actually, in that article, Glenn Gabe noted that he had put out a tutorial on how to get this data elsewhere, because Google didn't allow it in Search Console. So, I mean, good for him for having done it, but now it's useless because you can actually do it, which is good. It's good. Yeah. But
all right. Yeah. More information from Google Search Console. What's this?
Yeah, so there might be a bug. This is kind of a weird one. Possible Core Web Vitals related bug in Google Search Console. So there are a lot of reports of Core Web Vitals update occurring in Search Console that began on July 11th. Many people are reporting that it's got to be a bug. I'm actually finding this as well. When I looked at a number of client Search Console accounts, this occurs in every single one, like across the board that I've checked. And what's happening is when you look at the Core Web Vitals report, it lists how many URLs you have that are good, how many need improvement, and how many are bad. And in all cases, good and need improvement URLs have plummeted on these charts. But the bad URLs have not gone up. They've stayed at zero. So that's kind of weird, because if the good and the need improvement go down, the bad should go up, obviously, because they're swapping out, right? So that makes me think that maybe pages are not being indexed, or we're losing indexing. So if this happened on one account, I might be a little bit more worried. But then I went in and checked our client accounts where we're seeing this happen, which is all of them. And I'm not seeing the number of pages indexed drop at all. In most cases they're going up. So it just doesn't make logical sense. So then I think, well, maybe Google's just not analyzing as many pages. And I found a quote from John Mueller that backs up what I think. So I like that. He says, these reports are based on samples of what we know for your site, and sometimes the overall sample size for a site changes. That's not indicative of a problem. I'd focus on the samples with issues rather than the absolute counts. The only thing I don't like about this is that it does kind of reinforce that I'm saying, like, their sample size has gone down, but John says the overall sample size for a site, but it seems it's happening for everybody, not just a couple sites. It's like across the board. So it's a bit interesting. Is it a bug? Are they just sampling fewer pages for everybody? I don't know. But the main reason I'm bringing this up is because if you go into your performance reports and you're checking out your Search Console stats and stuff your Core Web Vital stats in Search Console, and you see these drops, don't panic. It's literally everybody. Ross and I, of course, are in a nice position where we can check a number of client sites. So if we see something happen and we think it's an anomaly, we can compare it against a whole bunch. As a site or business owner, you might only have access to one site and one piece of data. So a drop like this could look incredibly concerning, but it seems to be everybody. So don't panic. Don't worry about the counts that you're seeing in that tool. Just focus on improving where you see a need to. So,
yeah, it's a good use case for these, or a good needs case for these forums. I mean, they really do help people out by having a place to talk about this and getting a better idea of what they're seeing may be real and what isn't. I just wonder how much data or how much of the things that happen in this, the Webmaster Central, whatever they call them at Google, John knows. I mean, there must be so much going on. Maybe he didn't even know this was happening. Maybe he'll come back with some insight that he wasn't even aware of. Yeah. It does seem really weird. When things don't make sense like that, they typically come out in the wash as a mistake on their end.
Yeah.
So let's hope.
But it does also bring up another point that if you ever do see any kind of anomaly at all, whether it be in your traffic stats, in your rankings, in a report in Search Console, whatever, if you see something that looks bad or even very good and it just doesn't fully make sense, go into the forums, go into the Search Engine Land, Search Engine Roundtable Journal, all the places, and see if it's like a bug or an update or something is going on that's bigger than just your site, if you're concerned about it. Don't act without verifying that it's, not more wide scale. If it's only your site and it turns out to be only your site, obviously you're going to want to act on whatever the thing is that you find. But
all right, cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to touch on some local SEO news. Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. Okay, so I was mentioning before that the Google update in June 2025 has...
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Caused some issues with local search results. Now, the only way I found out about this, I shouldn't say that. I have talked to Rose in-house, and she's noted some ups and downs, but I don't think she realized this is something that's everyone seeing. Rose is our local SEO in-house here. But a significant and uniform drop in search impressions has been reported across multiple users. This is closely aligned, although not conclusively connected to the June core update. They noticed it starting June 29th, so that's pretty coincidental. I don't know. And same unfortunately, day. It's still not being resolved, and there's no certainty when or if it will be. People are seeing 61 to 92% drops in search impressions. In this one example picture we have. So what does that mean? Well, in this case, the good news is the most of the people who reported this, and this is on localsearchforum.com, they had found that it didn't impact their sales. In fact, their sales were better. So, but everyone tracks these things. I mean, Google Local is so different than the standard search results. We have our own analytics platform for it practically. I mean, it is so different. And when you see drops like this, it's concerning because you keep them separate in your mind. Obviously, in this case, there is sort of some kind of connection here. And until we really know what it is, we're all a bit in the dark. In addition, there was a new thing. I've never seen this before, but it's brand new. I'm kind of happy it's out there, but we'll see how it washes. Ben Fisher reported that one of Steady Demand's clients received a consumer alert from Google regarding suspicious reviews. The alert is visible on Google business profiles when consumers navigate to the reviews section. This discussion on, again, local search form reveals that this warning feature has been available in the UK for some time and is now spreading to the US. The screenshot is for a weed dispensary, and under it says 4.9 out of 565 reviews. But just below that is a fairly significant banner with an red exclamation mark and that sort of red triangle saying suspicious high-rated reviews were recently removed from this place. Now, the only time that appears, according to what I was reading online, what was the site called? I think it's called reviewfraud.org, I think. Anyway, they have a bit of an article on this particular issue, is when you look at the knowledge panel in a search, or let's say you're not the knowledge panel, when the local maps page for the specific business shows up, you have to, on the side, gosh, I can't speak today. On the right side of a search result, you get a longer write-up about that business. You have to scroll all the way down to the get to reviews before you see this alert. And it's not showing up very prominently either on the review results. So, you know, I think there's a case there that if this is true and they aren't just throwing this out there at people who literally didn't have any negative or any false reviews, that could be bad. But if it's all legit and people are being caught spamming reviews, this should show up higher. It should be really obvious to anyone looking at the business, because I don't want to hire someone who's been paying for reviews. It's just not the kind of company I want to work with.
I would hope that you would get that same warning if they were poorly rated reviews as well. You do see that happen when, you know, somebody does something stupid and it comes out who they were, and then the world just goes crazy and starts flaming their Google reviews, even though they don't have any personal business experience with them. Like, you see that sort of scenario play out sometimes, which, sure, sometimes it's kind of justified, but it's still not really tied to the business necessarily.
Yeah. What drives me crazy are when you have irrelevant reviews. We have a number of them on Facebook. Not sure. I haven't checked lately to see if my attempts have worked, but I've been trying to get them removed. They're like talking about us, and they say, yes, Kathleen's the best accountant. We love her. We highly recommend her. Like, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. It's just like, what the blazes? Where did that come from?
Yeah. When did you hire Kathleen? I haven't met her yet.
When did we do accounting? What's going on? I mean, how obvious can you be that it's fake and yet, or wrong, and still Facebook doesn't remove it? They're just crap.
Well, it's there was one not long ago I saw, and it was 1 out of 5 stars on Google. And it says, I've never actually been here, but I don't think I want to go, or something like that. That was the review. Yeah. You've never even been, and you admit it in the review, and it's posted. And how has it not been removed? Like, clearly, it's just so flawed. I know you complain a lot about Google and the local issues and bugs, and it seems so easy to fix to me, and I don't know why they can't seem to fix it.
It's not enough money for them, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of. The other ones are just one from Amazon I saw recently. And I see this all the time, but it just really made me laugh scornfully. Was when you see, you're looking at the reviews about a product you're considering buying, and it says, I bought this. I haven't used it yet, but it looks great.
Oh, all the time. Or I bought it. I'm still waiting for it to arrive. 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to work great. Well, what the?
There's so many of them. I don't even read Amazon reviews anymore. They're so bad. And they've got to be 95% fake. I don't know. There's got to be some stat somewhere that says how many are fake. But
now, that would be a great use of AI. AI should be able to go through those and just remove anything that looks dumb.
Yeah.
Like, really? Yeah. Those shouldn't be showing.
Yeah. Even if they're, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. What's next here?
So this is kind of funny, and I really questioned if I should even place it in here at all. But John Mueller, yeah, he's not even just John, but when Google contradicts itself a little bit, I just get a bit of a chuckle. So this might matter to some people out there. Maybe some people, I don't know, whatever. So what basically John is saying is that the order of links in a disavow file do not matter. So if you have your disavow file because you have a bunch of bad incoming links, it doesn't matter if you put the link at the bottom of the list, the middle, the top, the order is irrelevant. They don't process the file per se. It's not an immediate filter of the index. We take into account that we recrawl other sites naturally. Why I find this funny is because in the past on multiple occasions, John has said that the disavow file is a waste of time and suspects that Google will remove the tool at some point. So why he's even bothering to talk about the order and how it doesn't matter. Obviously, it doesn't matter. The file doesn't do anything. It's a waste of time.
And we've caught him doing that multiple times, talking about the disavow file and saying how you should use it if you use it. More like he's responding to questions, to be fair. But still, it's...
He should preface them, though, because he doesn't do this. He should preface it, be like, okay, the disavow file is a waste of time. It's probably going to go away. But if you're going to do it, this is how it used to matter. But it... It doesn't. I don't even know. I don't even know how I would address it if I were him. But so if you do use it and you were wondering, it doesn't matter. But do something else with your time. Build links, write good content. A million things you could be doing other than worrying about disavow file.
And worrying about such micro issues. Don't worry about the order. I mean, people overanalyze this stuff. Yeah. I was trying to think of any way I shouldn't say that, but I mean, I guess it could be someone submitting a 30 million page site and then they worry about the order. But I mean, that's about the only reason I can think of. And if you're submitting God knows how many million URLs to your disavow, wow, you're in really big trouble. I don't know. Anywho.
I wonder now about the effects of negative link building and that. I'm pretty confident there's zero effect at this point. Like, basically, there's no such thing as a bad link. It'll either not help you or do nothing kind of thing. We have seen in the distant past where lots of bad links definitely mattered and were definitely bad. But I think we're way beyond that now. I haven't seen a case study or a report or anything anywhere in years where someone talks about a bunch of bad links impacting their rankings. They did a disavow, got rid of the links, whatever, and things returned. I just haven't seen that play out in a very long time. So I don't know.
No, they finally implemented what we've been talking about for, or John and I talked about for upteenth episodes. I was losing my shit. Pardon, I swear, darn it. I'm trying not to do that on the show. It was just ridiculous that they were penalizing people. Just ignore them. So they finally said they're ignoring them and just taking all the power out of them, which is exactly what they should have done from the beginning, instead of destroying people's websites by banning them and blocking them. That's just mean, especially if they were taken advantage of by someone else who were building links for them. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so... Barely indexed sites can mean Google isn't convinced of the site overall. A user on Blue Sky, which is, by the way, a good social platform that isn't one of the big guys, I like that, asked a question about indexing. They stated that they've had their Wix site live for a few months now, and only four pages have been crawled and indexed. They claim they are not appearing at all in search either. John's response is... If you're hosting your site on a strong hosting platform in a technically valid way, and it's barely getting indexed, often that's a sign that our systems aren't convinced about the site overall. Obviously, every site and business is different. It just sometimes feels like folks focus on building out a topic, ranking pages for the topic, when their business is actually not directly tied to random web traffic for that topic. So you had a few thoughts here.
Yeah, so the first thing that came to mind here is I think John's right, but it sounds like this site is only a couple months old. So It takes longer than a couple months to perform well on a site. I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but Google used to say, it was right in like their help guide somewhere, something to the effect of it can take 6 to 12 months or something like that for any SEO to do anything.
6 to 8 is what I recall.
Was it 6 to 8? Yeah, either it starts at 6, not a few. So either way, we're more than a few months old for the site. So this just might be a waiting game. I wish I knew who this person was, but it might just be a waiting game. Like, you've got a brand new site. Yeah, it's probably not going to rank for a while. It's probably not going to be indexed for a while. Just wait. Keep working. Keep building. Well, I even have this down here. Like, yeah, continue working on great content, highly relevant content. And to what John even says, make sure that that content is tied to your products, your service, whatever it is you're trying to sell. Don't be building out a bunch of content that's kind of parallel to what you're selling. Make sure it's highly connected and relevant. And then also work on links and citations and external signals that they really help get a new site indexed. So, you know, tell Google, show Google that you're an authority, and do that with your content and external signals, and it will. They will get indexed. They will start to. And if they're not, you can go into Search Console and inspect the URL and request indexing, and that if your page deserves to be indexed, it will. If it's really bad content, I don't know, probably won't. But I don't know. Like, I wish I had examples when we see these sorts of things of the actual URLs that they're asking questions about. I'd like to see the website and see, is there a valid reason why it's not being indexed? Like, maybe it's terrible, or maybe it will just take time and stuff. So,
yeah, and we'll be talking more about this in the future, but just, if this is your website, focus on looking at who you're targeting, so the personas, and then create content around it in a topical format. You know, get into creating content that's, let's say, targeting pain points, but for the different personas, and make them exhaustive. Backlinko is a good example of a site that has a phenomenal amount of traffic, and it's mainly on just a few major articles they wrote that are simply exhaustive on links. They've made their name that way. They're not creating a ton of content. Volume is not the way. It's about quality and it's about expertise. And by doing it that way, you're really going to win out. So it's a lot of work, but that's the reason why it stands out. It's like any way that it makes things hard generally is the way to go, because that's if true. It's hard, people aren't going to do it and you're going to have an edge. Sad to say.
I've never really thought about it that way, but that's totally right.
Yeah. And you're also making Google happy.
So if you can create an article using AI in 30 seconds published to your site, it's probably not going to do well, because like you said, it doesn't get easier than that. So
no, exactly. And with AI getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter, it's going to be so hard to stand out. It's an uphill battle for everyone. So just getting ahead of the game here and creating exceptional content that is exhaustive is the way to go, and include your own content. Include your own media. I mean, I always come to an example I saw years ago of a guy who's writing an article, kind of a how-to, well, it was a how-to on lighting for video. And he had everything in there, man. It was impressive. It was so in-depth. It showed the different types of lamps you could buy, and the different Kelvin for different lamps, pricing, some of the reviews for them, and then it would get into the different angles. I mean, it was truly to the word exhaustive. I mean, it was just incredible. And yeah, that ranked. No duh. Took him a couple months to write to make it perfect, and then he probably adds to it all the time. And that's the other thing you want to do is keep updating this cornerstone content. And that's really what it is. It's cornerstone. It's going to be one of the main drivers of interest to your website. Google will love it. They'll buggers will scrape it for AI overviews. You just know it.
Yeah.
But again, that's showing that they're only doing that because they trust it. They think that you are, you have expertise. So it's going to pay off. We just don't know exactly how well or how quickly, because things are changing so much. Right now, it looks like it'll be good long term. So, you know, go with the flow. And we're going to have to do the same thing. In fact, I expect we're going to be consolidating clients' content to less content with higher quality by merging content and totally avoiding cannibalization of keywords, which is currently very, very common right now. We've all targeted different keywords and different pages of sites with different pieces of content where really topically, maybe 30 of those pages are all relevant to each other and could be condensed into a single article. That's where I see a lot of SEO happening right now. And that's a big hint to all of you. This is where we're going with our clients. And I see it being a lot of work I'm not looking forward to, but it is the way it is moving. So, all right. In AI news here, we have one last piece of news. What have you got to share?
Yes, we have a small-ish Ahrefs study that is finding so far no evidence that Google is penalizing AI content. Not a surprise, but it's nice to see some studies that sort of support that. This particular study consisted of 600,000 pages, which were comprised of top 20 ranking URLs for 100,000 random keywords. And they found no correlation between AI content and Google rankings. More than 86% of the high-ranking pages did contain some level of AI-generated content, which I'm not going to lie, that quite surprised me. I didn't to see it being that high and that well adopted already.
You got to keep in mind they're using AI detection algorithms, and they are not 100% right.
That's true. That's a good point.
But yeah, they probably find a lot of pages out there. I mean, like I said, the 600,000 pages, the top ranking pages. I imagine people who are in any competitive market are probably using AI to enhance the pages. So I mean, they could be right too.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I've got some percentages here, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. But some of the page stats, they found about just over 4% of all pages they checked were entirely AI generated. A little over 13% were entirely human generated, and about 82% were a combination of AI and human. So yeah, I guess it doesn't totally surprise me if it's a combination. You get a paragraph here or there, who knows what they're looking at. Percentages of AI content versus the percentage of sites analyzed. They found about 13% had very minimal. 40% had moderate AI content. 11 to 40% of it was actual AI content. And then it was about 27% of all the sites they analyzed had more than 40% of the content was AI driven. So it's there. There's no avoiding it. That's for sure.
And I like that it's just confirmed what we have been told.
Yeah.
And what we know is a logical response from Google. Who gives a damn if it's AI if the content's great and it's unique? Because it comes down, if you're good with AI, it comes down to the prompt. If you're providing the AI writer with a lot of unique, thoughtful, and expertise-laden tips to create the content, well, great. It's going to create even better content than you have. But I mean, it's going to create content faster than you can, and it's going to include all of your seasoned tips. That should rank. There's no reason it shouldn't. So it's good to hear. So don't be afraid of AI. Don't listen to anyone who says you're going to get penalized for it. It's just a bunch of BS that they will. It's 100% okay to do. I love prompt engineering, and there's a lot to it. And yeah, I'm not going to get into it. I totally nerd out. I got a little endorphin rush just even thinking about it. So I'm not going to get into it. I'm such a nerd about prompt engineering. But it is amazing what you can do with it and create excellent, excellent outputs. Well, with that said, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. And please, you know, whatever platform you're listening to us on, take a moment and leave us a testimonial. It so awesome when we get to read them, and we really, really appreciate it. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air almost every week at WMR.fm.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you in episode 506. The six was hard.
That was hard. Not quite as smooth.